Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, all true Christians are familiar with what is called the Great Commission. And that means that once we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the privilege, even the divine obligation, to declare our faith. And according to Acts 1:11, this is a mandate for all Christians, because Acts 1:11 says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Well, at the same time, there is another mandate in the scriptures that is equally massive in terms of obligation and resulting implications, and that is the dominion mandate of Genesis 1:28. We're further told by our Lord to be salt and light, and that men need to see our good works and hence glorify our Father in heaven. And of course, that is found in Matthew chapter number 5. Certainly, these directives are interconnected and are all grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet here's the problem. Few believers understand the profound duty placed upon us in these areas, and neither do we realize the consequences for failure to understand the magnitude of these obligations. In fact, a large number of Christians shrink back from thinking about culture or seeing any responsibility placed upon them concerning cultural influence. So what does it mean then to be in the world as a Christian, but not of the world? While such influence, I believe, must be accomplished in every sphere of our culture, from the arts to the markets, to the entertainment industry, to the sciences, to political arena, yet precious few see the necessity of such engagement, and then some don't even care. And I think a failure to see that our need for involvement is critically important is a sure pathway to not only the marginalization of Christianity, but ultimately, I would believe, to the ban of it. In short, I'm saying we must involve ourselves culturally. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Dave Kistler. I'm president of Hope Ministries International and Hope to the Hill. I'm a full-time evangelist as well as president of the North Carolina Pastors Network, which is a state affiliate of the American Pastors Network. And I'm filling in today for our host, Sam Rohrer, who happens to be away. And I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Dull, who is also a regular co-host on this program. He's pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and the executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. And friends, our theme today is simply this: cultural engagement by engaged Christians, why it's right and necessary. And our guest today is Rich Hobson, former campaign manager for Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. And Rich is also the former administrative director of the Alabama court system. He's a committed believer in Jesus Christ, and he is also my friend. Rich, I want to welcome you to the program today.
Brother Dave, Brother Gary, it's wonderful to be on your program. And I've been on several times before, but a little bit new today, a new role, but I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are thrilled beyond belief to have you on. Yes, you have been on before, so you're not a first-time guest. But what separates today's program from those in the past is, Rich, this past Wednesday, you announced your entrance into the Alabama 2nd District congressional race. It's a primary contest against primarily incumbent GOP Congresswoman Martha Roby. Having just come from the fire of perhaps the most heated, controversial, and expensive all-out slugfest in U.S. history, why have you chosen to run for U.S. Congress now after what you went through with the Roy Moore campaign?
Well, and Brother Dave, I tell you what, with the attacks on Judge Moore in that campaign, oh my goodness, it would have been an easy thing to say, forget it. Like, who wants any part of that? However, through prayer and through urging of brothers and sisters in Christ, and through the realization of what's going on in America right now, at this point in history, I had to jump in there and try to allow the Lord to work through me to make some corrections. And this is a devastating time in our history. And right now we're going to be focusing on having a safer, a more prosperous, and a moral America. That's what I want to try to restore.
And Rich, certainly we do need that, and we are delighted to have you on the program and delighted to hear about your upcoming campaign, or I should say your present campaign now. And the platform upon which you are running is very similar to Judge Moore's Senate campaign of last year, with a strong emphasis on military spending, opposition to abortion and LGBT rights and all of that, as well as loyalty to President Donald Trump and his agenda, particularly in the area of immigration. In fact, in your announcement last Wednesday, you said this, and I quote, "The president also believes in a safer, stronger America, but he cannot do it on his own. We need congressmen who will work with him, not against him," end quote. I like that statement, Rich, but why don't you clarify what you really meant by that?
Sure. We all know that in November of 2016, we were given another chance. America was given a chance. And I remember that night at 3 o'clock in the morning, just praising God that President Trump had won. But President Trump does need a Congress who will work with him and who believes in his agenda and who wants to forge ahead with America and the values that we hold near and dear. I am definitely one of those individuals who wants to do that. And, you know, when you look at my platform and what I would like to do in the future, you know, I guess it just gets down to I'm a Christian conservative who believes in this nation, and those are the values that I reflect. Of course I'm pro-life. Of course I'm pro-acknowledgement of God. And with that, I'm a fiscal conservative who believes that we're supposed to be stewards of our money, good stewards of our money. And all the things that go into those moral issues, economic issues, and, of course, national security issues. But basically, yeah, I'm a Christian guy who wants to do right for America.
Rich, I know you announced your run for Congress in two separate locations last Wednesday, Montgomery, which, of course, is the capital, but you also made an announcement in Enterprise, Alabama. I'm curious as to why the two locations, and I'm even more curious about what kind of response you got at both.
Sure. Well, David, you know it's hard to get people to get out and do anything, especially in cold weather. And I know that cold is relative, but it was a pretty brisk day in Alabama last week. But, of course, Montgomery, Alabama being the capital and the largest city in the 15-county area of the 2nd Congressional District, that's why I chose Montgomery for 10 o'clock that morning. But later on in the afternoon, I went to the place where I grew up and where my wife grew up. And we're both natives of Enterprise, Alabama. That's in Coffee County. That's home of right next door to Fort Rucker, Alabama. And I lived in Fort Rucker from 4th grade through 6th grade. And then we moved to Enterprise and went to high school in Enterprise and junior high. And I went to the junior college in Enterprise before I went to the University of Alabama. So it's home. It was good to go back home. And despite the cold, despite everything that was going on, I had great crowds at both places. And I'm extremely thankful. I think I had 75 people in Coffee County and Enterprise and 50 or 60 people in Montgomery. So it was indeed a blessing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Rich Hobson. He is candidate for Alabama's 2nd District Congressional seat. And we're exploring this theme, cultural engagement by engaged Christians, why it's right and necessary. And yes, as you've already heard, Rich is a committed believer in Jesus Christ. Well, I want to ask him this question in the next segment. How does that animate and motivate him? And what about the Judge Roy Moore-like attacks that will surely come his way and his family's way? How's he plan to deal with all that? All of that coming up on Stand in the Gap today.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Important day for me. Today, I'm officially announcing my candidacy for Congress in Alabama's 2nd District. For almost all of my entire life, I've called South Alabama and the Wiregrass home. I was born into a military family at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, and our family moved to Fort Rucker when I was in the 4th grade. I grew up in Enterprise, and I graduated from Enterprise High School. Then I did what many good Wiregrass young men and women do. I attended Enterprise State Junior College and later transferred to the University of Alabama. And in the meantime, I married a beautiful Wiregrass lady. I still don't know why she did that, but I'm very, very thankful that she did that. Since then, we've lived and raised our 2 daughters in Covington County, Pike County, and Montgomery County. We've lived all over the 2nd District. My background is public service. I served in the United States Air Force Reserves and the 908 Airlift Wing at Maxwell Air Force Base. And I've worked for the past 20 years in the Alabama court system, twice serving as Administrative Director of Courts for the state of Alabama under Chief Justice Roy Moore. However, I'm not running for Congress simply because I'm a longtime Alabamian or have the experience or was smart enough to marry over my head. I'm running because our nation is at a crucial time in history. And I want to make sure that we preserve a safe, prosperous, and moral America for our children and our grandchildren.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have just been listening to the live announcement this past Wednesday by Rich Hobson, our guest on Stand in the Gap today, announcing his run for Alabama's 2nd District Congressional seat. And I want to back up and restate what he just said in that last phrase, and that is, our nation is at a crucial time in history. And then Rich said this, I want to make sure that we preserve a safe, prosperous, and moral America for our children and grandchildren. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we often and frequently hear the words safe and prosperous America, but rarely do we hear the word moral. Now, Rich, I want to go to you because I know you well, and you don't just use words casually or cavalierly. You use them deliberately and strategically. And when I heard the word moral in your announcement last Wednesday, that stood out to me, and it stood out to me in no uncertain terms. I want to ask you directly, why did you include what I believe was that pivotal word?
Sure. I mean, I'm an American. I'm a Christian American. And I realize that what has made this nation great is our Judeo-Christian values. It's what the nation was founded upon. And I want to have a return to that. You know, I've recently come off the trail with Judge Roy Moore, and that's what he pushed for. That's what he allowed the Lord to work through him to try to achieve. And I want to carry on that mantle. But I guess it comes down to this simple challenge or the simple goal that I've had ever since I became a Christian over 30 years ago. And that is I strive to act the same way on a Monday morning that I do on a Sunday. And that includes at work, that includes if you're in government, includes no matter where you are out in the community or in the world, to strive to not have that dual personality, but to be that Christian out in the world. And that's what I want to bring to the U.S. Congress.
You know, Rich, there's no doubt about it, but you know more than anyone else how the impact of a national campaign can really affect you, particularly as it relates to your own future and your finances and your family and so forth. I mean, you've just gone through such a campaign, and yet you've chosen to announce your campaign for Congress right now on the heels of a character assassination, the likes that we've not seen too much of, if ever, here in the United States of America. So I'm just, I try to be a practical person, so I'm just going to simply come out and say, why now? I mean, you are just sort of yet recovering from that campaign with Judge Roy Moore. Why have you announced to run for Congress now?
Well, if not now, when? I mean, do we just wait until America ceases to exist? I mean, I believe that Christian folks need to jump up and serve. And I tell you what, there was a time when Franklin Graham was going through the nation in 2016, and he was on tour, and he came to Montgomery, Alabama in April of 2016. And I bet we had 3,000 or 4,000 people on the steps of the Capitol in Montgomery, Alabama to hear him. And he gave a fiery, fiery charge to everybody and led everyone in prayer. And in that prayer, he challenged folks, if they were thinking about running for office, if they had ever thought about running for office, to commit to that. Well, no, I did not announce right after that, but I never forgot that I did ask that prayer. And at the time, I was in the court system, leading the branch of government in Alabama, and it was a great job, and I was very comfortable. And the Lord had other plans, and his mighty will was done, and Chief Justice Moore ended up not being Chief Justice. I ended up losing my job, and all doors pointed to being able to do this. And so kind of a roundabout answer, but this is the time. We need to do our part to ensure that the values that we hold near and dear and that continue to make this country great, that they live on for our children, for our grandchildren, for America.
You know, Rich, I hope at some point you get the opportunity to share the impact of Franklin Graham's ministry there in Alabama, part of that 50-state Capitol tour that he did leading up to the elections of 2016. And because I'm a North Carolinian, maybe I can help facilitate an opportunity for you to meet with him and share that with him, because I know it would be a blessing to them. But we here at the American Pastors Network frequently reference the scripture's clear teaching that public servants, according to Romans 13, are God's ministers. In fact, the word minister is used three times in the first six verses of Romans 13. And the word minister there is the Greek word diakonia, from which we get the English word deacon. So a minister in government is just as critical, just as vital, just as necessary, and just as important as a minister in the pulpit. In fact, I'd say that governmental involvement is its own kind of pulpit. It's just in a different area of jurisdictional authority. So in other words, this that you are entering into, Rich, is as much a calling as a calling to the preaching ministry would be. I'd love if you'd care to comment on that.
Well, of course, I believe what you just said. And we know that God ordained the family, he ordained the church, and he ordained civil government. And we need to treat it with that same sort of respect. It is part of our life, and God blesses and arranges for those who are in power for many different reasons. He is the one who allows people to be the leaders in our nation and in our state and in our community. I pray that he will allow me to do that, and he will work through me toward those same goals. And I'm excited about this prospect.
I'm really encouraged with what you are going to be doing here, Rich, and thank you for doing it. And, you know, one of my prayers has been that all across this nation, we might see Christian men and women step up and say, Lord, if you want me in government, I am willing to go. And I say that because of what Brother Dave just said, the fact that in government, every person in government is a minister of God to stand against wickedness and evil, and to stand for that which is good. I want to ask you sort of a theoretical question, I suppose you could say. As a Christian, as one who believes he is called to run for Congress, what can you envision would take place if we would have Christians all across this nation be willing to say, Lord, if you want me to run for office, I am willing to do it? Now, I know you want to go to Washington to support Donald Trump's agenda, and we certainly believe that it's a biblical agenda. We've talked about that many times on this particular program. But if Christians like you all across our nation would be willing to run for office, and particularly for Congress, what kind of an impact do you think that that would have on what we are doing here in the United States of America, both domestically as well as internationally?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, that is a fantastic prayer request to occur. But if that were to happen, I mean, it would change the fabric of our life. It would be all of those things that we pray for each day, including strengthening of the family, strengthening of the home, strengthening of this great nation, helping our brothers and sisters through different difficulties that they have throughout this nation. And all of the above would occur. And God would bless this nation. It's exactly what he calls us to do, for us to join together, for us to pray, and for us to allow him to work through us. And that's what he asks us to do. And that would be not just the goal, that would be the result. So that's an exciting prayer request and one that we need to continue to lift up daily.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to consider the question Gary just asked, and then even more so the response Rich just gave, because really what they're talking about is 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, the ones called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And friends, if that happened in America, the end result would be blessing on every possible level. And so that's why we believe here at the American Pastors Network, it is vitally important that we have men and women running for the highest offices in the land that are committed Christians, that understand not only the Bible mandate for cultural involvement, but they understand that there is a biblical responsibility we have, and there's biblical blessing that comes when we fulfill our responsibilities. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with this theme today, and that is cultural engagement by engaged Christians, why it is right and absolutely necessary. Our guest is Rich Hobson. He's candidate for Congress from Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the dire consequences of neglecting our responsibility in this arena of cultural engagement. So don't miss that. But more importantly, what are the amazing benefits of being energetically involved in the culture? You're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
In November 2016, America rejected the leadership of those who would say that America is wrong for wanting to be great. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton told us that America needs to apologize for our success. They told us the way to keep peace in the world is to weaken ourselves so that we don't make anyone else feel threatened. And they told us that our Judeo-Christian values are not any better than anyone else's beliefs. We elected President Donald Trump because we are proud of America. We believe in our values, and we believe that a strong America is not a threat to a safer and more prosperous world. In fact, a strong America is the key to a safer and more prosperous world.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the voice to which you have been listening is that of our guest, Rich Hobson. He is the former administrator of the Alabama court system. He was campaign manager for Judge Roy Moore, and he is a current candidate for Congress from Alabama's 2nd District. And of course, I'm Dave Kistler, president of Hope Ministries International, Hope to the Hill, and the president of the North Carolina Pastors Network. And along with me today, filling in for our regular host, Sam Rohr, is Gary Dole, pastor of Faith Baptist Church Altoona, executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. Rich, the things that you said at your announcement last Wednesday, the clip that we just listened to, of course, is from that, are things that very much resonate with much, if not most, of U.S. citizens. But you're saying these things as a committed believer in and a follower of Jesus Christ. And Rich, I've seen you now over the last several years of knowing you in a variety of settings, and I can say this unequivocally, your faith drives all that you do. So I would love for you to speak to this if you would. Obviously, you're motivated to run for office to a large degree because of your faith, because of the values that animate you. What happens to a country when Christians don't fulfill their civic responsibility and what we here at the American Pastors believe is even more important, and that is our biblical duty of being engaged?
Well, I'm sad to say that when that occurs, then basically we get what we deserve. And we have been experiencing that now for decades and decades. With abortion, millions of babies being killed every single day. That is a result of not following the Lord and of letting him go by the wayside and not putting him up front. The destruction of families, of course, would go along with that. The destruction of our youth and not wanting to pursue education, not wanting to be successful, not wanting to work hard. This whole thing about work ethic, you know, these are all God-inspired characteristic traits. And hopefully that would be inspired by parents, a mother and a father, going down to the children, teaching them the way that we are supposed to do, the biblical family. So without folks engaging, without folks clinging to the Lord and trying to get closer to him, that is the problems that we face. However, the flip side of that is the opposite of what I just said, the strengthening of the family, the saving of lives, my goodness, with folks wanting to run and folks being elected who would seek to preserve life and get rid of Roe v. Wade and to save children. Oh, my goodness, that would just be, it would be a miracle, and it would be a wonderful, wonderful United States of America that would probably continue to share with the world that same notion of great values and our great godly heritage. But yeah, those different things, that's what's on my heart.
You know, Rich, you talk about biblical values, and of course there's no doubt about it, but that our nation, the United States of America, was established on the Judeo-Christian ethic, on biblical values. And you brought something up there that is a concern to me and many of our listeners across the nation today. And that's the idea of abortion, Roe versus Wade. And, you know, ever since 1973, Christians and pro-lifers have been doing everything they possibly could to stand against that and even to get it reversed. And, you know, we're coming up on the anniversary of that. I think it's the 19th of January or somewhere along that. And there's no doubt that there will be another big march on Washington for pro-life causes. I want to ask you specifically, if you don't mind, and maybe you've not had the chance to think through this yet, but since this idea of pro-life and trying to overturn Roe versus Wade has been an issue for those of us who are Christian and moral conservatives over the last years, what is your plan if God puts you in Washington? What is your plan to, as you go forward, to stand against Roe versus Wade and to lead the charge to overturn it in the United States, in our Constitution?
Sure. Well, I guess so. Talk about the top to the bottom. And first of all, at the top would be new Supreme Court members, new United States Supreme Court members who have this same value, who have the Lord in their heart and who are driven by the Holy Spirit. And those are the type nominees who need to be accepted and placed onto the court. And I believe that we're right on the cusp, hopefully, of changing the court toward a conservative, toward a value-based court. And I look forward to that to happen. Going on down the order, I guess it would be also, I believe, in the Constitution and giving the states the power that they deserve, letting states decide what they need to do in terms of abortion. I know for the state of Alabama, oh my goodness, we have on the books for many, many years that abortion should be illegal and that this is a pro-life state and that the people are pro-life. And so, again, giving the people more of a voice and letting the states determine what they will do and what they will not do. But the whole nation doing that, I believe that it would be a restoration toward those values that we hold near and dear.
You know, Rich, this serves as a great segue into the question I want to ask you, because what you're doing is you're creating a real clear contrast between you and perhaps those that are going to run against you in the primary, which, if I understand correctly, the primary vote will take place this upcoming June. But Martha Roby is the current 2nd District Congresswoman from the state of Alabama. Of course, she is a Republican. But how, in addition to perhaps even the issue of abortion, how would a Rich Hobson campaign, the values of your campaign, differ dramatically from that of Martha Roby?
Sure. Well, first of all, just right off the bat, I voted for the president. I support the president, and I will get in there and back him with his agenda and those different constitutional items that he holds close. I will as well. In addition to that, I have the experience of not being influenced by the Beltway. And in my different roles that I've had in the state of Alabama, leading the judicial branch of government, and doing what was right for the branch and for the state of Alabama and for the people, I will bring that same experience and that same commitment to the United States of America, with a reflection on the people of Alabama, and of course wanting to do what's right for the second district. But I believe those same values will just jump right over to what's best for America. And I look forward to doing all of those things in Congress.
Well, you know, I appreciate what you have to say, and I'm wondering about this matter with Mrs. Roby, and I'm wondering really if you know of any polling data out there to give any indication on how vulnerable she is. And to add to that, you know, over the past weekend, a book came out that really tries to diminish the credibility of President Donald Trump. And I'm wondering if you have any idea how she may approach that particular book or the message of that book versus how you approach it, because there's no doubt about it, this issue is going to come up as you go forward.
Well, I do not believe the book that has come out. I believe that it's farce. It is just not true and how they're painting our president. And I will hold them up and stand with them. As far as how other people would treat that, I'm not real sure what they would do with that, including my opponents in the race. But this is a conservative state, and this is a conservative district here. And we believe in those values that made America great, and we do not apologize for them, and we will continue to forge ahead to spread that to the rest of the nation. So I am interested in that. I have seen how fake news, how bad stories, how bad books can affect an individual, how they can affect a candidate, how they can affect a campaign. And, of course, Judge Moore just went through about the worst example of that ever. Allegations are not fact, and I'm not sure if this book that has just come out has done the proper research. I know they're getting a big splash of publicity right now, and it appears it's just to sell books. But I am definitely not convinced of the negative things about our president that this book is espousing, and I will continue to stand with them.
Rich, one of the things that is of concern, we've discussed it a little bit on this program. In fact, I think actually discussed it with you just briefly in the past during the Judge Roy Moore campaign, and that is the implications and the repercussions of these type of allegations coming out against a man who's had a stellar reputation, 40 years worth of public service, and then all of a sudden 30 days before an election, these kind of things surface, and they are allegations, proven allegations, and they yet possess the ability potentially to destroy a man's life, to alter his future. What would you say to those out there that maybe have considered a run, such as what you were doing in the past, or maybe they're considering a run, maybe on the local level, state level, national level, and yet they fear the unjust and totally unjustified allegations coming out against them, things that are not true, but potentially could destroy their family? What would you say to them to encourage them? Don't let that keep you from running.
I would say that you have to cling to what we all know as Christians, and that is we are never alone in anything we do in this world, that we have the Lord right with us. And just as Judge Moore has had the Lord right with him,
we will be back with more right after this. We have gone ahead of the break a little bit, but we'll be back right after this.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap Today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Our guest today is Rich Hobson. He is the former director of the Alabama Court, or administrative director of the Alabama Court. He was campaign manager for Judge Roy Moore in his recent Senate campaign, but now he is himself a candidate for Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. And I want to go directly to him. I've got a couple of questions, Rich, that I want to ask you. And during the break, I've been receiving texts from listeners that want me to ask what they believe to be the most important question of the day. And I will get to that in just a second. But typically, Republican incumbents are historically safe from primary challenges in the state of Alabama. But Martha Roby really angered some of the conservatives there in the state of Alabama who perceive her to be too moderate. For example, the Wetumpka, Alabama Tea Party president and founder Becky Gerdeson challenged Roby 2 years ago, and Roby, of course, won that primary. But then she antagonized more GOP voters by publicly withdrawing her support from President Trump during the 2016 general election after this interview surfaced where Trump used inappropriate words and appeared to be saying that he liked to take advantage of women. The Democratic National Committee has targeted this particular seat as a possible 2018 pickup for them. So, Rich, you're running not only against an incumbent, you're running against a bit of historical precedent as well. So not just for you, but for America, what are the advantages of electing someone with an agenda like the agenda you have so clearly spoken about today, an agenda that the American people seem to embrace wholeheartedly on November 8th? Of 2016. I'm talking about a pro-God, pro-values, pro-Constitution, pro-Israel, pro-military, pro-limited government agenda. What are the advantages of voting for someone like you as opposed to a more moderate like Martha Roby?
Well, first of all, obviously, I am not part of the establishment. I'm the enemy of the establishment, and I won't be a rubber stamper the way that Washington, D.C. and the elites want. That's what they desire, and that's what they will fund, unfortunately. Along with that, I tend to treat money the same way that we have been taught ever since we were little kids, and that is you don't spend what you don't have, and that is just good stewardship that is a godly model to follow, just as we do in our families. And I will try to bring that same level of honesty and of budget acumen into the United States government. So right now, that's one of our big problems, is our fat federal government. And I've seen waste at the state level, and we've seen waste at the federal level, and we need to curb our spending. We need to do away with agencies that don't even exist under constitutional lines, and make sure that they don't exist monetarily and drain our system. We also need to take those same values that we hold near and dear, such as is safety and security, these things that are God-instilled, and strengthen our military, protect our borders. And as we protect our borders, and as I pray that one day we're able to build a wall, but I think that in the meantime we need to use our military to secure the borders that we have. Building a wall is going to take a while, but we could go ahead and police the borders overnight using our military, using the assets that we already have. Now, in doing that, it also flows into the economic prosperity part of it and into saving money. You know, illegal aliens cost this nation $113 billion each year. $113 billion. You know, our budget is about about $4.1 trillion. Our income's about $3.65 trillion, leaving a deficit of about $480 billion. Well, out of that deficit, the shortfall that we have every year, over $100 billion is because of illegal aliens and benefits that they receive and this drain on our system. So taking all of these different values that we have in our heart and that we have trained up with, and I'm preaching to the choir with you two and with this show, I believe that is a way to continue on the road to make America great again. And I look forward to it in a great, great way.
Rich, let me ask you to do this, because I do have this vitally important question that a number of our listeners are asking me to ask you. But before I get to that, I would like for you to do this. If people would like to know more about your campaign, more about you personally, or even to support you, where would they go to find that information?
Sure. Easiest thing is richhobson.org. That's richhobson.org. And Facebook is Rich Hobson for Congress. And I appreciate you asking that question. I invite everybody to visit early and often.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, let me underscore that it's Rich, R-I-C-H, Hobson, H-O-B-S-O-N.org, richhobson.org. Please go there. It's very rare we have candidates of Rich's experience, his commitment, his understanding of the Constitution, his background that run for Congress, and you owe it to yourself and really to the country to learn more about this fine man, a man that I've known for a number of years and have grown to not only greatly respect, but to greatly love. Rich, here's the question that everyone's been asking me to ask you, and that is this. There is a game tonight between the University of Alabama, which is your alma mater, and the University of Georgia, and they want me to ask you to give a prediction about the outcome.
Well, that is a great question, and of course, the University of Alabama is going to prevail, but it is going to be a great, great game. My goodness, we have just great Alabama football, and then you have the Kirby Smart-led Georgia Bulldogs. So that's also an interesting storyline right there, because Kirby had been our offensive line coordinator or offensive coordinator for the University of Alabama. So, okay, my prediction is we're going to win by 2 touchdowns. So there you go.
Wow, Rich,
roll tide.
You know, you are stepping out on a limb, because most of the prognosticators are saying, you know, a 3 or 4 point Alabama victory. A few are picking, and maybe more will do so today, are picking Georgia to win by maybe a field goal or 3 or 4 points. But 2 touchdowns. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Rich Hobson, our guest today, picking Alabama by 2 touchdown margin. Rich, I tell you what impresses me. You're a well-rounded individual. You not only know the Constitution, you not only know the laws of the United States, you certainly understand the scriptures, but you also know your football. And I appreciate that so much. My friend, thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you so much, Brother Dave, Brother Gary. This is just one more reminder to me that God is good to me. I've enjoyed being with you today, and I look forward to the next time. God bless both of y'all.
Well, we will definitely have you on again. And Gary, what I'd like for you to do as we wrap up the program today with just a couple of minutes to go, I'd like you to take us to the throne of grace in prayer and pray not only for Rich's future, but more importantly for the future of the United States of America, that God will give us men and women in high office that acknowledge him and understand the things that we have talked about today, and that Christians will be, according to our theme today, culturally engaged, because that is vitally important. It is a biblical mandate, I believe. So would you take us to the throne of grace in prayer?
You don't want me to pray for the future of Alabama?
If you want to pray about that, Gary, you are welcome to do so.
You know, the dean of college coaches, Lou Holtz, said George is going to win.
I was afraid you were going to bring that up. But
but let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you, we do thank you and praise you once again for this opportunity that we've had to have Rich on. And I thank you, Lord, for raising him up. And I pray that you would put him into office. And I also pray, dear Lord, that you would raise up people all across this nation with biblical values to run for both local, state, as well as federal offices. We pray that this nation would turn back to you and turn back to biblical principles. And we'll give you the praise and thanksgiving for what you'll do in answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, amen. You've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our guest, Rich Hobson. To learn more about him, go to richhobson.org. And until tomorrow for our next installment, Into Truth, stand up for truth where you are and do so winsomely and joyfully, because America's future is at stake.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network. addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.